Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 70 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Can you believe we are almost midway through September already? Once again, I'm shaking my head. I can't believe how fast it's going. But we've got a lot to cover. There's good things coming up, and we're going to do a packed program again today. So coming up on the show, more big news about the Arise Retreat, the Good Things Radio Women's Retreat for next April. We had a team meeting recently, and we have a date exclusively and only for Good Things Radio listeners. So there's a pre-sale launch date for tickets. You're going to want to mark it in neon on your calendar with a big circle, and also put a reminder on your phone, whatever you need to do. So we'll get to that. Also, your fabulous feedback, an invitation about a cool event that you're invited to, especially if you are a blogger or you're into social media as a ministry or the new evangelization. And we're going to give you an update on the book of Sirach. So we're going to get to those goodies. Those are all good things. And then a topic that's been dominating the headlines, at least on a local level for me, every time I go into work in the news. And I've kind of let it lie for a long time because it's not one of those conversations that you necessarily want to have a small talk discussion about. It's kind of private discussions between my husband and I, some friends, but I feel compelled to bring it to the light. So we're going to do that today. And do you want to go to the Holy Land? What do you think about the idea of traveling to Galilee and Jericho, Cana, Bethlehem with an amazing priest at your side? That may be coming to life, so we're going to do some bean spillage on that as well. So as we settle into the show, just let's rest our restless hearts in His, our Father, our Lord, our love, and just to simply abide in Him. If you join me as we always do in beginning in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, help us run the race so as to win. Recently we read in 1 Corinthians 9:16 that we will not run aimlessly, but with purpose in our days, that we will not utilize our energy on meaningless pursuits and shadow boxing, but that we will live deeply and live well, making the most of our days. Help us, Lord, to slow down enough to see You, to breathe deeply enough in and out, to have patience, to taste and see that You are good, even when we are in the midst of a storm, and that You are with us. And help us, Lord, to seek You, to stay with You, that we may radiate the love we receive from You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise.
This week I was looking at pictures from the Arise Retreat in March, our very first annual Good Things Radio Women's Retreat. And that, by the way, was thanks to our friend Jamie taking the photographs, our official photog. But I gotta say, I was getting a little bit misty-eyed. It was our first retreat, and as we're planning the second one for next April, Divine Mercy Weekend, pictures brought me back and really took me into this beautiful weekend that I had to share with so many beautiful souls. And as I was looking at the faces again, it just kind of reminded me of the feeling of faith and joy that we shared together as a group. So that was one thing, and just anticipating doing it again. And we also shared on the last episode that in addition to Father Nathan Cromley and the Children of Mary and Michelle Fainley and Emily Jaminet and Linda Isaiah, we also have Andrea Singarella. She will be leading us again in a holy craft. And this is exciting. I am seriously now looking into the idea of securing our very own retreat massage therapist. Can we get an applause just at the idea? Because I feel like every good thing in life should come with its own massage therapist. I mean, if you're going to go on a vacation or go to a lunch or something. But I just thought, because it's Divine Mercy Weekend and we're going to be working a lot on healing and on renewal, that's a big part of it. So I'm kind of at the moment
into step two of that. I found someone that I think will be willing to do it. And now it's just a matter of figuring out the logistics. And I'm thinking it may be an extra option for those who want it, meaning you could pay the massage therapist if you'd like to get rubbed, hopefully like at a discount rate though, and then maybe make an appointment ahead of time. But we'll all get that ironed out. So stay tuned on that. But that's just one more exciting element in the works for the retreat. Also, I can tell you, and this is big, we have a date for the ticket sales for the retreat. And this is important because it's only going to be open to Good Things Radio listeners for the first week. After that, we'll open it up to everybody else. But because of our very first retreat, I also want to open it up as well. I should say that. That's important. I'm also going to open it up to anyone who went to the first retreat. And I know that especially because of people coming from all over the country, 15 different states, we're probably not going to duplicate that same reach, but you never know. So if you're interested, write it down. Here's the date. It will not be advertised or shared with the general public until you, my friends, have a chance to grab a ticket first. And that date is Thursday, October 5th, the Feast of St. Faustina. The price is going to be roughly $400, and that includes everything. Your meals, your lodging, all of the retreat materials, all of the event goodie bags, the program, which is talks, spiritual direction, group studies, workshops, a rosary bracelet, and all the materials that go into that. And again, it's unlimited beverages and snacks. And I have to say, honestly, last year I was worried about the price. We had never done this before. A lot of people at first said, this is the most expensive retreat, but not one person, honestly and truly, not one person that I know or encountered walked away saying that wasn't worth it. And I feel, and for us, in the end, it still didn't quite cover our costs. So we're trying to do things a little bit differently this year. And because you've got 1 year under your belt, you learn a lot. So that's what we're looking at, just to let you know to save. And really, when you think of going to Great Wolf Lodge or staying in a hotel like that, a lot of places would cover 2 days and it would be that much or more, and you don't even get all of those extras. So this is really a full spiritual spa weekend where hopefully not only will you come away feeling rested and relaxed, but with great new friendships that will last and a deeper faith. And I've seen it. I know it can happen. So here you go. Once again, that date, Thursday, October 5th, that will be when our tickets go on sale just for exclusively Good Things Radio listeners.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Yes, it's the Bible song, and Sirach is in there as well. Books of the Bible we're talking. So last week, I mentioned a study of Sirach that listener Vanessa from California gave us the heads up about. I asked, do any of you want to do this group study together? And within a few days, a bunch of you gave a big ol' yes, and a Voxer Sirach study was born. So I am thrilled, because what's so cool about this is we're utilizing modern technology to be able to connect across the country and with different schedules and walks of life. So if you're interested, just find us on Voxer, but you can also, again, get that study journal. It's not big or daunting or expensive. Trust me, if I'm adding this onto my plate, anybody can do it, because I think we are all stretched and pulled. What's nice about this is if you're interested in doing the Voxer study with us as a Good Things Radio group or on your own, it's really on your terms, on your time, when you prioritize, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend some time with you. And that's it. It's that easy. Also, it's from Jenny at the Littlest Way blog, and basically that's what we're going to be using for our study. But if you're interested in just getting the book, it's on Amazon. If you look up Sirach Bible Study, I think it's the only thing that comes up, so you can find it. If you want the full scoop, though, just go back, last episode, number 69. And if you want to be a part of us too, just go ahead and shoot us an email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com.
It's Brooks
House.
It's Brooks
House.
Okay, come on in. Welcome home. Just look out for, there's a lot of school papers piling up on the countertops and backpacks not hung up on their designated hooks. So just watch out for that. Also, we're preparing for a birthday. My oldest son, Gabriel, the boy who made me a mom, is going to be turning 15. He was born just a few days after 9/11. We were on an Army military base, and his due date was the 15th. He was born September 14th, and I cannot believe that he's 1 year away from officially getting his driver's license. Lord help me. So we're planning that. I also want to kind of bring you in a side room where my husband and I are. We're having a discussion about, just amongst ourselves, an issue that has bubbled over from my thoughts and something that's really been heavy, troubling my heart. And just to set the table, if you're a regular listener, you know that several months ago, I took a job at a station in Cleveland as a part-time news anchor. And what I love is it allows me to be home with my family full-time, still do the ministry things that is my passion, but also gives me a chance to keep one foot in the broadcast world, which was my primary career. It's also forced me to a point to be more involved into what's happening with the news headlines, which honestly, truthfully, are just dark. It's depressing. But one thing in particular that has dominated our region, and it is the epidemic of opioids and heroin. Now, trust me, I am learning more about drugs and these stories, just reporting them, than I ever cared to know in my life. And I also, in all the topics that I ever imagined in my dream book talking about, this was not even in the scope of what I ever wanted to talk about. But I think that it's important, and we have a crisis on our hands. And sometimes when you're in like this never-ending perpetual cycle of news, you start noticing dominating themes. And for a while, it's been a racial divide, the police violence, shootings in our country. There's no question if you look, for example, in Chicago, there's a serious state of gun violence and gangs going on. Maybe for a while, it was ISIS or Russia. Whatever the case might be, obviously, we're in a political season, so those stories dominate. So I want to be careful to keep it in perspective because, you know, when you're buying a car and you kind of got your eye on like a Nissan minivan and then everywhere you go, you start seeing these Nissan minivans. And that's what I was thinking. Maybe now, because it's on my radar, I'm seeing them everywhere. But I do believe it's also something that merits a discussion. So I want to be careful just to keep it in perspective. Number one, not to focus on the dark, which Good Things Radio is all about focusing on the light. So that's good and love. But number two, to recognize what could potentially be a wolf at the door. So for us in Ohio, the overdose and the drug abuse rates are at record highs. In Cincinnati, for example, there were 30 overdoses in one day. In Akron, right here, which is where our city is connected to, consider we're Akron, kind of residents of South Akron where I live, we had 17 overdoses in one day. This isn't necessarily unusual. It's just the intensity and what these drugs are being mixed with that's making them so deadly. There's a boy that attended the same high school as my son, a year older, just a handsome, innocent young man. He died of an overdose after his mother and grandmother administered heroin to him in a hotel room. Can you even fathom pure evil? He was found face down in a chair at a hotel room with his mother and grandmother calling the police because he had overdosed and not come back. A couple, this has just gone viral, a mom and dad passed out in the front seat of their car as their four-year-old son is buckled in his car seat, just sitting there, and they are gone. They are overdosed from a heroin fix. They were able to come back with Narcan. And then going into work this morning, I just received this email from a coworker. This is what I got when I opened my email. Hi, Brooke. It was kind of a quiet night with one exception. Akron police responded to a home where three adults were overdosing. Apparently, a three-year-old child wandered off while this was going on and was found safe one street over. A short time later, crews were called to the same house for a fourth person needing treatment for an overdose. I did a couple voicers on that story, but I would imagine Channel 3 might have some sound by this morning. Okay, and so it goes. Stories like this. Over 10 million Americans abusing opioids. 80% of that leads to a heroin addiction. And so that's what's scary. So that's the question. How did it get so bad? Recently, the BBC came and they did a documentary looking at the hardest hit, worst places in America. And that just happened to be in a Cleveland suburb called Avon Lake, which is an area that's very wealthy. It's nice. But what was kind of determined, and I know that Vicky, our resident police officer, is going to share a little bit of this as well, is that what's happening is because people are getting injuries, or it might be a work-related injury, or it might be grandma needing hip surgery, or a back surgery, then what they're giving is oxycodone. Within 3 days, you can become addicted to it. And after that addiction wears off, on the street, you can get heroin for maybe $15. Again, more information than I ever wanted to know. But that's why it is so alluring and so tempting for someone who's experiencing withdrawal symptoms, from a 60-year-old grandmother to an 18-year-old athlete that plays football to a 45-year-old carpenter that has a knee problem. And that's why it's getting so bad. And then what's happening is these drugs are being mixed with elephant tranquilizers or fentanyl, all of these terrible things. And the reason that I share it with you is because maybe you in your life have been touched by addiction already, and it's a scourge and a cross that you've borne and that you love someone and know exactly this pain. Maybe it in your radar isn't even registering, but it's still, I think, important, number one, to know the ways that the enemy is lurking, to know the ways that our souls are being stolen and how we can pray the St. Michael prayer. I just think that that's a really important component. Now, Vicky, because she's such a wonderful, loyal listener of the podcast, she's also on the Arise team and happens to be a wife, mom, and tough Cleveland cop, she has a lot of experience with this. And she amazes me because on one hand, she is this beautiful rose of a woman. And on the other hand, is super hard as nails, really tough, and deals with this every single day. So she's going to come in and kind of shed some light on this. Take a listen to Vicky.
Hi, Brooke. As a police officer in Cleveland, I have unfortunately seen firsthand the heartbreak and despair created by this heroin epidemic, and the permanent effects that it has on those affected by this addiction, their families, and the community as a whole. Parents burying their teenagers and young adult children, children becoming orphans, and families broken forever. This drug crosses all racial and economic lines. Many that I have dealt with began their addiction with pain meds because of a work-related injury or a sports injury. When the pain management prescriptions stopped, the heroin addiction began. Because unfortunately, the high from heroin is the exact same high that you get from OxyContin. And it really is a shame, because in my opinion, OxyContin really should only be used for people in hospice or people that have cancer or have other really heavy-duty chronic pain issues, as opposed to having knee surgery or having a bad back. Many stories have been written about signs that your kids may be on drugs, and a lot of the signs and symptoms are good. Kids get moody, they withdraw, they want to spend a lot of time in their room, their grades drop. Some of that could be attributed to some type of addiction, and some of it could just be that they're being cranky teenagers that day. But if you combine those symptoms with things like kids wearing long sleeve shirts and long pants in really hot weather, or kids wanting to sleep a lot, or also combined with those other symptoms, like a flu-like behaviors, that's something called being dope sick, where they're withdrawing from the drug, and it presents itself almost like the flu, but it's not. So the best advice that I could give to parents is to know your kids, know who their friends are, know where they're at, because these drugs are available everywhere. These drugs are available no matter what economic class you're in, no matter what racial class you're in. It doesn't matter. They're everywhere. So as parents, if we talk to our kids, explain to them how dangerous it is, especially with these bad batches that come out. Recently in Cincinnati, they had over 100 people that died because of a bad batch. These kids think that they're invincible, unfortunately. They think that it's not going to touch them. And it's really important as parents that we talk to our kids. And if we suspect something, look through their room, drug test them, do whatever you feel like you need to do, because you could be saving your kids' lives. So that's my take on this whole heroin epidemic. It is, like I said, very heartbreaking to be on scene and have to explain to small children that mommy's not going to wake up, or have to hug parents whose 17-year-old honor student who got a knee injury playing football is, they're going to have to plan funeral arrangements now instead of college plans. So I hope that the information that I provided is helpful, and thanks for having me on the program.
Wow. Thank you, Vicki. And again, the name of this show, the spirit of this program is focusing on good things, on the light. But through this, darkness is not overcome. And so I want to get a spiritual take on this as well. I want you to listen closely to the words of Father Nathan Cromley and the healing balm that his truth is, deliverance, praying for recovery. Here's Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre.
Father Nathan here with another Padre in Your Pocket. I would like to talk to you today about something that strikes us really to the heart and something that many of our listeners will know intimately, and that is the struggles and the pains that come from knowing someone in our family or one of our friends who's struggling with an addiction. Addictions are so disheartening and so worrisome, precisely because none of us have control. We don't have control over our friend, and our friend doesn't have control over themselves. And it just seems like something bigger than us is at play. The church is close to you. Jesus is close to you. If you know someone who's struggling with an addiction, you're not alone. God is not far away. He is with you. I'd like to show you and reflect with you on Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. This is a very detailed passage in St. Luke, which speaks to us about the same struggles that you could know when you carry someone who has an addiction. Verse 26. Now when he had landed, he met there a certain man who for a long time was possessed by a devil and wore no clothes and lived in the tombs, not in a house. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him, crying out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I pray thee, do not torment me." For he was charging the unclean spirit to go forth from the man. For many times it had laid hold of him, and he was bound with chains and fetters, and kept under guard. But he would break the bonds asunder, and be driven by the devil into the deserts. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils had entered into him. And they entreated him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now we know how the rest of the verses go from 32 to 39. Jesus, in fact, does expel those demons, and he liberates the man. And there's this beautiful image. It says about the man that, "But the man from whom the devils had gone out prayed him that he might remain with him." So there's this begging. He goes from being thrown in the tombs and imprisoned to begging Jesus to stay with him. My friends, you can't give up hope. The chains and the oppression and the lack of freedom that we suffer with an addiction is not greater than the power of Jesus. We have to have hope, because the person who's struggling with addiction is missing hope. It's the one thing you can have control over and that you can do for someone with an addiction. You can hope for them in God and never give up that hope. You might not be able to stop the addiction. You might not be able to turn their life around, but you can hope for them with every fiber of your being. Hope is your weapon. And Romans 5:5 tells us hope does not disappoint. I have every reason to believe that Jesus wants to liberate every single person in addiction. I do not understand why sometimes that liberation does not take place. Either we don't pray for it, or in his providence, God has allowed that to happen. But I can hope that even in the most dire of circumstances, God can use whatever is afflicting us for the salvation of our souls. And who knows, maybe the humility of the person being humiliated by their addiction secretly is a place where God can work. It doesn't mean that God wants it. We need to pray and fight against it. But your weapon, my friends, is hope. It's to cling to Him in the name of that person. And even when they seem to be hopeless and to be so far gone, to still hope in the delivering power of Jesus and His liberation. And we remember that in the end, yes, we hope that the body is liberated, but even more, our hope is that the soul of that person be liberated from their sin and from their sins. And for that, God alone knows the mysteries of the hearts. So don't allow the devil ever to tell you that he has dominion over this person. Jesus Christ has all dominion and authority. And if for a while that person has been subject to the influences of the oppressive one, we can by our prayers submit that person every day to the power of Jesus to liberate and to heal. And that's your role, is to support by prayer, by truth, and by constant hope that person, bringing them to the power and the healing of Jesus. God bless you.
Father Nathan Cromley, thank you so much, Father Nathan. And in the name of hope, we will never give up. I gotta say, that's pretty much like a bullseye to my heart personally, because being someone who's been very intimately acquainted with the way that addiction comes in and can level a family, I struggle with that. Seeing someone that for decades takes their God-given potential and, from what I can see, just throws it away. It's a hard thing to watch, and to constantly and easily forgive that is not one of my strong areas. I'm just being honest. And so I've struggled with that and really appreciate the reminder that it is a demon and there needs to be a prayer of deliverance. And there's stories about Saint Pio, Padre Pio, essentially chasing people out of the confessional because he could see what their actions were doing in the souls of others. By their sins, they were causing others to sin and put those people in jeopardy. And he was angry by that. And so that's kind of, I guess, how I felt. When you see by one person's actions the domino effect that it can have in a family or a community, you think, where is the justice in this? That person needs to be held accountable. They have all the faculties necessary to make a different choice. But the reality is, when they are consumed by a demon, they are possessed by something that seems kind of bigger than them. And I've seen it even knowing that. There comes a point where you just feel like, I've had it. I'm at the end of my rope, and I've been more of a hardliner. So I appreciate that. And in that, I probably lose the hope that I so much need to cling to. So the reminder that that is what our light is and needs to be is a really powerful message for myself too. So thank you so much to Father Nathan. And to the Father, we bring the names of all those we know and love and that we don't know, who seem nameless to us, but the millions who so need deliverance from the slavery of walking among the tombs and to be liberated from the demon of addiction, we pray. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
Are you a homeschool mom who dreams of your own successful blog or business? If so, then the 2-to-1 Conference is just what you need. Hi, I'm Cheryl Pitt, founder of the 2-to-1 Conference, and I would like to invite you to join me and an amazing community of women this October 7th through 9th at Kalahari Resort in Sandusky, Ohio for the annual 2-to-1 Conference. Register at 2to1conference.com for the only social media event that focuses on ministering to the mom's heart while giving you the business tools and community you need to achieve your dreams. See you there.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. That's Cheryl Pitt. She's the founder of the 2-to-1 Conference, inviting you to an absolutely fabulous getaway weekend at the Kalahari. So that's a bonus, ringing the bell for that. And I also wanted to give you a personal invitation because I'll be there this year too. I'm giving the closing keynote, and it's all about finding the divine in the dirt and grime in our homes. And when you do homeschool, you're there all the time, and it gets old, for a lack of a better phrase. But it's true. And even though I'm not a homeschooler, that's what I love about this conference. It's really open for anyone, designed though for the heart of those who are in the home all the time, and also a networking conference, which is kind of neat. It's kind of a hybrid where you're focusing on the formation of the minds and hearts and souls of your kids, but also if you are a blogger or into social media, new evangelization, this is for you. So I'm going to pull up some of the conferences. I've got the program right here. Some of the workshops include The Power of Live Streaming by Amy Weiler, Virtual Assistants, The Key to Blog Growth, Build an Effective Email List That Makes You Money. Clearly, I've not done that. So our poor newsletter we had for Good Things Radio, I just nixed. So also How to Rock Instagram. So as you can see, how to write right. Let's see what else. Planning a social media campaign from start to finish. Finding your focus. Colleen Kessler, one of my dear friends, she is a blogger for Raising Lifelong Learners. She's going to be leading one of those sessions. Focus, wise team building, special needs, life's curved balls and crisis, marriage. All of these workshops are going to be in this one weekend. If you're interested, just visit the website. It's 2to1conference.com. It's the number 2 and then the word T-O, 2to1conference.com. I think there are about 15 tickets left, so it's almost sold out. Again, the date is October 7th through the 9th. It'll be at the Kalahari Resort in Sandusky, Ohio. And with that, we're wrapping up another program. Thank you so much for being a part of Good Things Radio. As always, we so value your feedback. We value your friendship. We value your support. And if you want to become a Podbean patron and donate to the show, that helps us grow and continue and keep going. You can go to podbean.com. Just look for Good Things Radio and also download the app and be a part of the crowdfunding that way as well. Thank you. And God bless you to all of our Podbean patrons. Thank you to all of our listeners, to you for being a part of the show. Also, thank you to my producer, the dynamic and wonderful Mark Cumming. Find out more at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you to Mark for getting our show up every week as promised. And until next time, may we hold on to hope as our anchor and praise him in the storm. God bless you, friends.